Well, I could see the picking, but I couldn't see the grinning. But I could see some grinning on your faces, so apparently there was some. That's good. We used to call that the hash chorus, didn't we? Kind of song that never ends. A lot of good stuff there. It's good. Jeremiah 50 and 51 is the extended section that we're covering in this particular hour. Jeremiah 50 and 51. We're going to pick out some key sections of the two chapters to give us a representation of the text. We start with 50, 17 to 20. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon the Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Verse 38, speaking of Babylon. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Verse 46. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. Chapter 51, verse 11. Make bright arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, to destroy it. Because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord doth devise, both devised and done, that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. He that made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and has stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. Go over then, please, to verse 62. Then thou shalt say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither shall man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And that shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her. And they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Father, in this late morning hour, we would call upon thy blessed and holy name to help us as we seek to appropriate a phenomenal volume of prophetic material in the span of a relatively short period of time. We know that the prophecy against Babylon is sure, but we also know, even as we begin, that the term Babylon is used in various ways in the Scripture, and understanding something of those ways today will be helpful to us in our general study of the Bible, and particularly as we seek to understand and appropriate the Scriptures that we've read this morning. We thank you for each one that is here. We pray that your purposes would be fulfilled in us. We ask in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen. The extended prophecy of Jeremiah against Babylon, two chapters worth, has both a near and a far sense of fulfillment. Almost 50 years after the fall of Jerusalem, as was recorded previous to this prophecy, and will be recorded again at the very end of Jeremiah's book next week, I should say 2 weeks from now, Jeremiah 52. The fall of Jerusalem afterwards, 50 years, Babylon fell, was conquered by the Medes and the Persians in 539 B.C. You may recall that Daniel, one of the Hebrew children taken in exile, was one who served throughout that period of transition. Daniel, the exiled prophet who lived in that which Jeremiah had prophesied, Daniel was the prophet who gave us the great revelation of the world empires that would indeed bring to the world its ultimate end. Babylon was the first world empire represented in the warrior-like image, seen first by Nebuchadnezzar, and then, of course, translated an interpretation by Daniel the prophet, Daniel's prophecy being absolutely unmistakable. Babylon was represented by a head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon was that head of gold, representative of a worldwide empire around the world. That would give way to a chest and arms of silver. And the silver is representative of the Medes and the Persians that are represented in the prophecies that we read. They would rise to power. They would take down Babylon. And they would once again not only have power, but they would have, as it were, a world domination in that period of time, a world empire, the Medes and Persians. That too would fall after a period of time to the brass thighs of Greece and Alexander the Great, and that period of history of which so often we are made to be familiar. The fourth great world empire, as stated in Scripture, is Rome, the iron legs of Rome. But even the iron legs would give way to a different period of time in which the world would be dominated by a foundation of nations that would operate with a foundation of Roman protocol and Roman legal basis through the aspect of a ten-toed democracy. You and I are living in the days of that great image's feet. Brass, iron, if you will, rather, and clay. Toes of brass and clay. The foundation of modern civilization and government continues to be associated with Rome. And yet the domination of this particular age in which we live has been democracy. Not all nations operate with democratic intent, as does our nation, the United States of America, but nonetheless, we're represented in Daniel's image by the toes, by the feet of iron and toes of clay in Daniel's image. That too, those kingdoms also will give way to the last and eternal kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. Daniel records that a great stone comes out of heaven and it smashes the image and smashes the usual way on earth that we have seen nations and empires rise and fall. In order to grasp something of the near and far implications of Jeremiah's prophecy before us in 50 and 51, we need to understand a little bit about the aspect of the way in which Babylon is used inside and outside the scripture by way of reference. Four different ways that Babylon is used. Number one, ancient Babylon, located in what we call the Fertile Crescent. That area was the hub of activity after the flood. Genesis 11 records the founding of a city center by Nimrod. There was the development of a religious paganism so wicked and so pervasive throughout the entire world at that time that God judged the people by confusing their language. Babylon was at that point in time, three things. Babylon was a general area of territory in the world. Babylon was a city center. And Babylon was a religious abomination. When you read of God's decision to confuse the languages, it is best to think about the uniqueness of the religious abomination that is going on when the people aspire to build a tower which reaches up to the gods in the heavens. Ancient Babylon. We also need to note what is called historical Babylon. Historical Babylon refers to the same general area in the world, but designates the world empire under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar. This Babylon was the tool of judgment against the little nation of Judah. The city with the same name as the empire was one of the seven wonders of the world. It was known for its hanging gardens and lush lifestyle. When the Babylonians fell to the Medes and the Persians, the city with the hanging gardens was not destroyed. The city was destroyed by the Greeks under Alexander the Great in 330 BC. Historical Babylon. The next two thoughts of Babylon are somewhat connected, and I will indeed connect them with a quote from one of my dead buddies before I move from 3 to 4. But 3 is cultural Babylon, and 4 is mystery Babylon. Let me speak to you, first of all, number 3, about cultural Babylon. Cultural Babylon is the term used to describe a people's adjustment to the customs and worldview of one's environment. Take, for example, the vast majority of Jewish people living in Babylon during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. They bowed to the idolatrous image. The three Hebrew children who didn't bow to that idolatrous image are the exception, not the rule. The vast majority of Jewish people became Babylonian culturally. They still thought of themselves as the people of God, but indeed, they lived like the Babylonians. It's kind of like that old historical statement, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Modernize today in America, when in Las Vegas, let it stay in Las Vegas, but do as they do in Las Vegas. That mentality of becoming a chameleon and adapting yourself to your environment could be well described as cultural Babylon. Before I mention mystery Babylon, let me tie cultural Babylon and mystery Babylon together with a quote from my dead buddy, Charlie Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, quote, "In Rome, the world was not Christianized, but the church was heathenized." One more time. Spurgeon said, "In Rome, the world was not Christianized, but the church was heathenized." That's a good quote to introduce this idea of Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is the divine name assigned for the anti-God religious business that is to be destroyed in the end time. Revelation 17 through 19:6 portrays two major symbols, the woman and the beast. The beast we understand as the Antichrist. And the woman is a religious business organization that is called by the name Babylon. During the Apostle John's day, the name Babylon was associated with the city of Rome as the hub of political and religious rebellion against God. Before we work specifically with Jeremiah 50 and 51, I want us to look just briefly at that end time judgment of mystery Babylon called Babylon the Great. Revelation 18, I'll be reading 1 through 8. "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Five reasons are given in that passage for the coming judgment against the religious business entity that is well established in the end of time. Number one, Babylon was and will be demonic in character. Verse 2. The thing driving the Tower of Babel, the thing driving the pagan Babylonian mysteries, the thing driving Babylon the Great in the end of time is demonic. Two, Babylon did and will possess worldwide influence. Verse 3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Number 3, Babylon did and will become wealthy as a result of her corrupting people on the face of the earth. 3C says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Number 4, Babylon's sin was directed towards God. Verse 5, for her sins have reached up into heaven. Remember the aspiration of the Tower of Babel? To reach up into heaven. And the sins of Babylon certainly did and will, says the Scripture. And number 5, Babylon was and will be proud and arrogant. How much she hath glorified herself, says verse 7, and lived deliciously. Now, all that said should help us as we return to Jeremiah 50 with the understanding that the prophecies made there find both fulfillment near and far. We begin with the summary of prophecy as seen in the biblical terms of shepherds. Back to Jeremiah 50, and I call your attention to verses 6 and 7. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Israel had a pasture problem. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountain to the hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Those verses are pregnant with meaning to understand the past. Those words are pregnant with meaning to understand the future. God said that Israel's past was corrupted by false leaders, by pastors, by shepherds, both of the civic and religious variety, that led the people astray and allowed the people to live in pursuit of gods, not the one true God of heaven and earth. God then says that the sins of the pastors and the sins of the people, they aren't against just people. Verse 7 says that their lacking sense of justice is against the Lord. The spirit of rebellion that we have seen and seen and seen throughout the book of Jeremiah is rebellion and sin against the Lord. National sin against the Lord. The Bible says, Revelation 18, that what did happen is going to happen. The world is going to be led by false preachers, teachers, prophets, and one who is coming called Antichrist. And the following will be great. No church built in that name will lack a hearty attendance. And yet the charge of old and the charge to come is the same charge. And the charge is people have been deceived and they have followed the lie and have left off following the Lord, their God. Israel was judged. Judah was judged of her sins. And yet, as we read in Jeremiah's prophecies previously, and is confirmed right here in this section of the Word of God, 50:17, Israel is a scattered sheep, true, but 19, I will bring Israel again to his habitation. Listen, that happened. That happened when God caused to rise up men like Ezra and Nehemiah and Zerubbabel. And that will happen again, as God will preserve a people for his namesake in the end of time. And Christ himself shall come in power and great glory. And God, who has a people, will forever have a people. Of this there is no doubt. So believe me when the Bible says Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen, you can be sure that Babylon is fallen, and Babylon is fallen. Of this you may be sure. And that's the great message of Jeremiah 50 and 51. Babylon is fallen, fallen. And there's a sense of that near that happened about 50 years after the fall of Judah. And actually in the 70th year is when the people began to go back to the land under Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel. Ultimately, that previous historical shepherding movement was again foreshadowing of the ultimate shepherding of Israel. He who is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, he who brought Israel back in kind, in preparation and set up for the first advent, God becoming a man, Christ exercising his passive and active obedience to the glory of the Father, dying for our sins, rising on the third day, ascending with the promise to come again, all yet to be ultimately fulfilled when the chief shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd of the soul, the good shepherd who laid down his life and took it up again, comes again in glory and gathers his flock as one. Be quite a day. Summary of prophecy is uniquely seen in the biblical terms of shepherds. Number two, the shaming of Babylon removes the idolatrous worship system. It did, and it shall. Verse 2, 52, declare ye among the nations, and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel, one of their gods, is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. 38 says, a drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images. They are mad upon their idols. Babylon was a nation absolutely consumed with religion, not right with God. The end of time will be consumed with religion, not of God. Why, the greatest attendance this church may ever have is the Sunday after rapture. Well, we like to think that everything falls apart when we leave. We like to think that the church facility will be empty and nobody will be here. May be the best attendance this church has ever had. The spirit of the gods was dominant before the fall of Babylon. The spirit of the gods is dominant before Babylon falls. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. She did. She will. You and I are given a phenomenal insight into the shaming of Babylon of old. The mystery religion, the occult. We can track its history from Babylon to Pergamos to Rome. We can track the history of the ancient mystery Babylonian cult from Babylon to Pergamos in the New Testament era, one of the churches named of seven in the book of the Revelation, to Rome. Much of modern day Romanism, religious Romanism, in its ritual, is based upon the pagan mystery Babylonian cult. If you look up and study mystery Babylon cult or occult, it'll make the hair stand up on the back of your neck when you see the coordination between mystery Babylon, the cult, and modern Christianity. That brings us, number three, to the scope of this judgment, which, of course, according to verse 46 in chapter 50, is worldwide. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. The indication of Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Babylon is that the fall of it was so great it could not be ignored back in the day. And the complementary text that we read in Revelation 18 makes it very clear that when Babylon falls, it'll be so great that all the world will know it. All the world will know. All the world will know. All the world will know. And every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So you and I live in unique days in which we can certainly relate to cultural Babylon, the adopting of the people of God to the ways and means of their culture. And with a clear indication that we're living in the days of growing mystery Babylon. Babylon the Great. It's interesting how the Bible does what the Bible does. One of the ways that the Bible does what the Bible does is to bring to the forefront notable names and historical storylines used repeatedly to convey opposition to God and to God's people. And those notable names and those historical biblical storylines rotate in the illusion of Scripture as it's given to us right up until the return of Christ in power and great glory. That is certainly true of the name Satan, the serpent of old, who is described as a devouring lion, often presenting himself, however, as an angel of light. Deception is his craft, and destruction is his goal until the end. But the Scripture is very clear at the end of Romans 16. Very soon, the devil will be ultimately and forever crushed under the feet of the Lord's church because of the groom of the bride, because of the Savior of the soul, because of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. But Satan is not the only name that Scripture brings forward to help us understand something of the opposition historically that's going to take place concerning God and His people over the course of appointed time. There's the name Cain and the way of Cain, which is to live in hot pursuit of all things human with pride and self-serving. Then there's the name Babel or Babylon, as we've represented well in this hour. There's the name Amalek, the ancient king opposing Moses, which illustrates the gnaw of our own sinful flesh from within. There's the name Balaam. The way of Balaam is to live with some knowledge of God and His way, but to sell out and to work to corrupt God's people for the sake of a buck. All the things done in the name of God for a dollar. And there's the name Jezebel, that wicked wife of King Ahab, who worshipped Baal and acted with cruel contempt upon all things good and right. The hateful and evil opposition to God and His people culminates in the coming day when the dragon and the beast and the false prophet form an unholy trinity in defiance of God. God, in His time, will easily destroy them all. When Jeremiah preached, Babylon shall fall, it was, and it is, absolutely true. As the great hymn of Luther says it, and we sing it. One little word shall fell, like the chopping down of a tree, fell the great adversary of our soul. Oh, beloved, when the group today sang that little happy hash of choruses, some of you rightly smiled in the happy picking and grinning that went on. We are indeed people who overcome. Overcome because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be this my joy today, to hear and to obey my Savior's word, His wonderful word, to read in it.